All right, so I want to welcome everybody. This is class two to Manifesting New Realities. It's December 3rd. Really can't believe how fast this year has just flown by, but we're doing it, right? We're all managing, we're all doing it, we're figuring it out, and we're getting through, and that's the purpose of this. So last week we had a really intensive class with a lot of information. Hopefully you guys are dissecting that, taking it apart. I've heard from some of you saying that you have been. And just remember that, you know, it doesn't matter if you're on the live call or you're not on the live call is always better. It's always a lot more fun. But if you can't be on the live call, right, because you got to work or have family, you know, that is demanding your attention, we get it. And just remember that you'll always receive whatever activations are coming through, whatever transmissions I'm bringing through, and the higher realm is wanting us to have. So it doesn't really matter. And, you know, if you listen to it, to the replay, you know, listen over and over again, because the more you can digest it, the more you'll activate those light codes and key codes within you. And, you know, shift happens. It's amazing how it happens, right? So we have lots to talk about. We've had a lot of interesting energy over the last couple of days. And so one of the things that we all know has happened, because we were kind of focusing on it, was this, the energy of the solstice. And then accompanying the solstice, we had the Saturn-Pluto conjunction, right? The conjunction that happened. And so that was very, very powerful, because that was like the kickoff for the age of Aquarius, for us going into this golden age, okay? And then today, the sun finally came back out, because it's been rainy and cloudy here on Long Island for 2 days. And we were not able to see anything in the skies the other day for this conjunction to happen. And so today was such a beautiful day that before I started my day, I went outside and I sat down in the sun for about a half an hour. And the sun was just holding this beautiful, magical, golden energy. And that golden light is the Christ timeline. It's the Christ consciousness, right? We're not talking about the personification, the person themselves. We're talking about the energy or the essence of the Christ state of being, which is unity, consciousness, love, peace, all of that, right? To those of you just joining, welcome. Thank you for joining us. So we're talking about that. And so going forward from yesterday, it's really going to be important for us to be present and pay attention and to tune in using the work that I gave you in the first class, right? And tonight we're going to expand on that and take it to the next level. But it's really important for us to do this because what I'm seeing is a lot of you are still judging yourselves based on where you think you should be. Okay, especially those of you that have been working with me or have taken these classes for a while now, as we've kind of rolled into, this is the fourth 8-week series that we're having. So, you know, don't measure yourself against me. Don't measure yourself against anybody else. You know, the important thing to remember here is this is all timelines, and everybody is on their unique timeline. We're all on a collective timeline together, but then within that collective, there are also smaller collectives that are in that collective, and then our own personal and individual timeline, plus what we came into work on as a soul group or soul family, all right? So do not measure yourself against anybody, especially me, because I've been doing this a very long time and I woke up in 2000. Okay. So I've been really doing this a long time, and this is all I do, right? So it's all I do. I don't have another job or anything like that. So do not do that. And then the other part of it too is measuring yourself as to where you think you should be based on a situation or circumstance that has happened in your life. So in other words, something occurs that pulls you out of alignment, takes you into left field, and you recover yourself out of left field and come back into alignment, and you're right front and center. And then you start with the judgments, right? And the verbiage is, I should have known better. I should have done that better. I should have seen that coming. I should have said something different. I should have done something different, right? Not, all of that has to go, because in these higher timelines, we have to see that the most important part of navigating our reality and aligning to the energies has nothing to do with how often we step out of alignment. What it has to do with is our perception and our awareness. Are you aware that something has occurred that has pulled you out of alignment, right? And if you are aware, how quickly are you working to get yourself back in alignment, right? That is what's important here, nothing else. So if you have a day where something pulls you out of alignment and you go back to being unconscious, who cares? What matters is, how did you do? Did you get yourself back into a state of consciousness? See, the guides are ready. They're all coming through, right? These higher light beings are coming through. You see, they're lighting my, yeah. And that's how it works. So you're going to see that. You might see orbs. You might see fairies. Yeah, now they've got me just lit up in this red light. I don't know. But anyway, so, you know, we have to recognize when we are out of alignment, coming back into alignment, and then not hold any judgment. Just sit in what is, what occurred, and say, wow, like, I got myself back in 5 minutes, right? not belaboring what happened, but looking more toward what just occurred as far as you getting yourself back into alignment. That is the most important part of all of this, okay? Because the rest of the stuff doesn't matter. And we are gonna do this, vacillate back and forth, because I don't think there's anybody in this group, and I said this before, that is unconscious for a full day at a time. Okay. Nobody in this group is checking out on themselves for a full day at a time. So, you know, you were going to vacillate back and forth. Okay. So we need to really just honor that and just be okay with it. All right. Cause I see you guys judging yourself and then beating yourself up for where you think you should have been, or what you think you should have said, or what you think you should have done. We have to let that go. And now, even bigger than this, all right, is every single thing that is showing up in your reality, everything, I don't care what it is, from the smallest minute thing to the largest grandiose thing, okay? Everything that is showing up is doing so to help us shift more, to help us see, right? Everything is a mirror for us, okay? So when we're having an expectation of how something should be according to the old ways that we've always done it, or the old ways that it's always happened, we have to let that go. And what's going to happen is, in it, so I could use myself, right? So I had ordered some stuff online, and we know mail is very wonky, but here on Long Island, it's even more wonky than anywhere else, okay? And so holding this awareness, I have to let that go, because then my expectation is going to be that my mail is not going to be delivered on time, or the thing I ordered is not going to get to me on time, right? So we have to just be mindful of that, because then what happens is the mail gets delayed when we're holding that as an expectation. And when we hold that as an expectation, then it aligns us to the old 3D reality, because we're expecting the male to always be as the male has always been. But it's not going to be that way. So if male doesn't show up on time or at all, it's because we're breaking those 3D programs that tie into at where our expectations are held. Does everybody get that? This is really important, okay? Because these energies are moving super, super fast, like at super light speed. So we have to constantly adjust. We have to constantly auto-correct to stay in alignment. Okay, that's really, really important. All right, and expectations are really critical here. So we have to let go of them and not have any. And I'm going to share a quick story with you to just show you how this works, because I want you guys to like really get an understanding for this. Okay. So a couple days ago, I had to go into Target for something. They're the only store near me that has these wild blueberries by Wyman's, and I use them in my detox smoothie. Okay. So I have to go in there, and you know, when COVID first started with the quarantine and everything, I tried walking in there a couple of times with the mask on, and I just get chased by the door monitor and anybody else. Okay. And so in all of those times where I've, you know, been chased or whatever, it's kind of retrained me not to walk in there without a mask, right? Because I know if I go in there, I'm just going to get a hard time and it's not worth the aggravation. So I'm just going to just put the mask on and go get the blueberries. So the other day, my friend was with me and we were heading in, and she was behind me and I couldn't see her, but I was heading forward. And I was explaining to her how we are in a simulation, right? That is not our reality. Our reality is not our reality, but it's simulation. And it's like a holographic reality, a holodeck. So where you place your intentions, where you place your thoughts, where you're placing your expectations, all of that is what's going to show up in your reality for you, right? So I'm completely, completely in my flow. You guys that know me know I can talk, right? I'm in my flow talking about this and I'm going, not missing a beat. And before I know it, we're in the store. I grab the wagon and I've got a couple that split past me as they were walking together. They split past me and then another person on this end. And I'm still talking to my friend. Now she cannot see me because she's behind me and I'm walking and I am all the way into the middle of the store. And all of a sudden, because I'm in this reality and seeing everybody with masks, I suddenly realize 5 minutes into the store, I don't have my mask on. I don't have my mask on. Not only do I not have my mask on, not one person said a word. Okay. Not one person said a word. Not one person challenged me. Not one person chased me. Okay. Like people were walking past me and it was like they didn't even see me. It was the most bizarre and incredible experience I've ever had, right? Now, I have people all the time that tell me, I really like you, Maria. I love your energy. I love watching you and listening to you. But quite honestly, I don't understand a word you say, right? I get that all the time. And that's because vibrationally, I'm speaking at a higher vibration. So unless they're in that higher aligned vibration, they're not going to sync up with what I'm saying. However, if you keep watching and listening, you eventually do sync up and it all just kind of starts to flow for you because now you've stepped up into that higher vibration. So this is kind of sort of along the same way, right? I was holding a very high vibration going in there. I was in 5D consciousness going in there. My mind was not thinking mask. It was not thinking store. It was not thinking COVID. It was not thinking anything other than this is a simulation. And I was trying to explain it to my friends so that she could really understand it. And boom, I'm in the middle of the store. And I guess seeing everybody else walking around in their masks is what snapped. And I snapped and I was like, I don't have my mask on. And then of course I stopped and I put my mask on because what happened in that moment of awareness, I kind of fell back out of 5D into 4D. And I was like, oh, I'm back in the lower timeline again. I probably could have walked the whole store in that 5D timeline, but you know, my ego brought me back into my reality. Okay. So the moral of this story is that our awareness, our expectation, all of that creates our reality. So if we're expecting our experience to be less than joyful, that's what's going to happen. But if we're expecting our experience to be amazing, then it will be amazing, and amazing will show up for us. Okay, so I want to challenge you guys this next week going into January 6th, okay, because January 6th, my team keeps saying that that's going to be a very, very significant day. So, you know, keep your thoughts high, keep your awareness even higher, okay, as you are connecting to and engaging in these higher light states of being, okay? Very, very important that we are in our flow, in our creator states, and not allowing ourselves to dip below into the lower timelines, okay? Donna's asking, did other people not see you because you were on a hard time? You know, it could be for some people that they didn't because they're in such a lower state of consciousness. So people that were really, really anchored in 3D might have been to the point where, you know, they weren't aware of me and they, you know, weren't experiencing me. And I was, when I walked in there, in a really high vibrational state. Because of what I was explaining. So, you know, it's very possible that they didn't see me. I've had that before where I was in my head about something very high vibrational, and I have gone places where people have bumped into me and then they were like, oh, I didn't see you standing there, you know? So yeah, it is very possible, and you're all, the more you do this work and the more you anchor in, you're all going to experience that. So, you know, hi Bob, thanks for joining us. No worries about not being able to get in. There's some kind of, the energy is just super high. So we're going to start with where we left off, but I wanted to go back over grounding because Annie had a question on grounding. And so let me just explain this again, right? So the old ways of grounding for as long as we've all been alive has always been to, you know, either grow a tail from your spine, from your tailbone and extension of your spine, and ground into Gaia, go into the core, either, you know, or plant your feet on the floor and grow roots from, you know, the soles of your feet, going down into Gaia, wrapping around some, you know, a structure in the center of Gaia, right? And that has always been the way that we grounded, all right? And the reason for that is because Gaia was not in her physical ascension. And she was, you know, still spiritualizing the essence of her own personal shift, because the earth is shifting with us. Okay. So if you think about it, prior to October 17th or October 2017, I should say, we were in spiritual ascension, right? Gaia was doing her work on a spiritual level, helping those of us that were also doing our work in a spiritual level, amplify our fields while she was holding that higher light, higher spiritual light. And no, even though ascension started on a spiritual level back in 2012, it really started in 1987 with the harmonic convergence, which was the unity meditation, the first one that was done around the globe, okay? So, you know, from 1987 forward, Gaia was preparing. Light workers were working the light back then. We don't work the light anymore. We are light bearers. We hold the light. We keep the light. We amplify the light, right? But we're not expecting others to shift. They're going to shift themselves, right? We're not waking people up. People are waking up themselves, because everything is from a time lock perspective. It's like a combination lock that unlocks and then the person wakes up. And it's synchronistic to a lot of different events that have to happen in their life in order for that to happen. That's based on the soul blueprint. Okay. So Gaia, in her spiritual ascension, was supporting the consciousness, the heightened states of consciousness for all of us, okay? And So that was how we were all shifting. Now you have to remember, Gaia is a soul, just like the sun is a soul and every planet out there is a soul. Okay. So being that, you know, Gaia has been in this transitory shift on a spiritual level for all of those years, and finally decided that enough light had been anchored to the earth to support her going into a higher level spiritual shift. In other words, the earth was encapsulated in a 3D environment, a 3D field, okay? So when the gatekeepers and the grid keepers, gatekeepers woke up, you know, in the 90s, and these individuals, handfuls of them on the earth, because there's not many, align with key codes and star codes that they sit on Gaia and offer to the cosmos, to portals, to gateways, you know, amazing energies that are in our cosmos, and they're anchoring these codes, and each one gets specific codes, and then they get information from their team, their higher realm team, and the team says, go to this place, sit on the land, and then use these codes to anchor in this portal or this gateway, okay? And that's how we've been amplifying the gateways for, like, you know, whenever you saw the 1010 portal, the 1111 gateway, the 1212, all of those significant times, right? So the gatekeepers work the cosmos, the grid keepers work the earth, okay? Enough gatekeepers and grid keepers woke up and were doing the work and were ready for the work, so that by the time we got to 2012, Gaia said, hey guys, you know what? I'm ready. Let's do this. And so it was on that solstice, December 21st, 2012, that Gaia was like, okay, we're going with full blown ascension. And that was it. It activated the shift. A lot of people woke up. A lot of people started to see the 1111 awakening code, right? And so what happened in that moment is, so from the perspective of the earth and that encapsulation, it made it possible, because so much light had been anchored into Gaia, that she could now circumvent that infrastructure that held that third dimensional polarity, the duality, in place, and allowed us to now anchor in 4D, right? And so that meant we had to shift everything. So we were not just shifting the, you know, how we were accessing our states of being, our states of consciousness, right? We were also changing or shifting how we were accessing meditation to leave and connect into the cosmos, connect into our team, connect into the higher self, right? So where it was a very viscous reality before, and we would work through the crown to make those connections happen, when we shifted into 4D, we had to also shift into heart center, okay? Because heart center is the fourth energy center, and it's also our access to the astral plane. So that's why when you hear my work or when you hear me talking, I'm always bringing us back into heart center, because one of the things that I haven't said before that I don't know if many of you are aware of is, when I came in and then faith activated, the frequency that I hold is the frequency of love. So it is the love frequency. So that's why I'm always bringing people into their heart center. Okay. So if that makes sense to those of you that have known me for a while, there's things I don't say, because it's just, you know, not important. I want you to focus on the work, not like all of that stuff, because it just glorifies the human experience, right? And that's more separation. But I'm just explaining to you how I know the heart chakra is, or the heart center is, the astral realm. It is where we are now doing our spiritual work. So whenever we are meditating and we're looking to connect into the cosmos, we're bringing our consciousness down through our face, into our throat, into our chest, filling up the cup of our heart, and then we are going out, okay? Because we have to exit from the heart center portal, all right? That is fourth dimension. That's the fourth dimensional astral realm or astral plane. And you, most of you know that we're already doing that in our sleep state, right? As our spiritual body leaves our physical body, our spiritual body leaves during sleep and it goes out into, you know, our higher states of being. And that's why many people think that they're having one crazy long ass dream at night with like 50,000 things happening in it, but it's not. It's really you multitasking in a multidimensional, interdimensional way, having all of these experiences as your multidimensional self. Your human wakes up and goes, wow, I dreamt I was here. I was all over the place in my dreams. And that's not really your truth. What happens when we wake up and then we're actually pulling in these different bits and pieces from each fractal aspect that we've been in that dream state. And we're kind of like pulling them in and then we merge it together and we think it's just one dream or one experience. Okay. So now when Gaia decided to go 4D and raise the vibration on the earth and anchor in the 4D frequencies for fourth dimension, what it did was it gave everybody access instantaneously to 4D. So we were all walking in 4D, okay? Still are, all right? And so those that are super asleep are in 3D. That's a solid 3D. Those that might be kind of like on the fence and not sure, just waking up, you know, just really coming into their spiritual self, that's 4D. Those of us in this class, we're 5D. Now, are we holding 5D consciously all the time? No, because this is a process of shifting back and forth, right? So we're bumping into 5D and we stick that for a little bit and then we fall off and we head back into 4D and then we realize we're in 4D and then we go back and we bump up into 5D again. This is the process. This is how it's going to be. And that's why this work is so important, because we want to have this awareness that, you know, we're vacillating back and forth so that each time we flip out of the 5D state of being, we can recognize it that much faster and then shift back in. Okay. So while we were anchoring 4D onto Gaia's field, at the same time, because they started working simultaneously on all dimensions are anchored. So now, because they've done all the work, up to 12D has been anchored into Gaia's field. All right, so we have access to 12D. Now, can everybody access it? Absolutely. Will everybody access it? No, not yet. I've seen 70 several times, but you know, we have to work to hold these frequencies in our body first before we can stay in that frequency and live in that frequency, okay? So when 4D anchored to the earth, we were still in a spiritual state of being. And then as we hit 2017, especially October, that's where we went into the whole Me Too movement. We were in root chakra, the whole sexuality thing, right? We went into shame, blame, manipulation, sexual abuse. That's all root chakra stuff, right? Then we saw a whole bunch of other stuff on top of that. So root chakra, heart chakra are like this. They're synonymous with each other, right? So when we have an issue in one place, we're going to have it in the heart center. So that created a lot of opportunity for us to bear witness to what was taking place in our own reality and coming into our heart center, right? To understand what was our truth. Now, because that all took place in October of 2017, it was also important for Gaia to shift out of her spiritual ascension and support the lower root chakra part of her ascension. So in that timing, she went into a very physicalized, she decided she had enough of a shift into her spiritual self, that she went into a physicalized root chakra ascension. So she worked through the heart, right, on her spiritual self. But then where do we work? We have to go back and we have to fix or correct the lower chakras, right? Because what's under the heart? The solar plexus. And that is our third dimensional state of being, right? Where judgment and self-esteem and material wealth and all of that go heading right down into the root chakra. So when Gaia decided to go into her root chakra, it became impossible for us to anchor into her core to do any kind of healing work, because she couldn't support that anymore, because she was going through an extreme process in her own elevation of consciousness, which became physical, which then in our turn also became very physical. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Does anybody have any questions on that? No, Annie, are you good? Do you have, if you have anything else, on mute.
No, I think it was just, thank you so much for taking the time to explain that. I think that it's just the point that sometimes I have a little mantra, I'm surrounded, grounded, protected by the divine light that I am. And I guess it's just the point that, you know what, those were the old days. And now it's better that we're flowing, we're in divine flow and not stuck in place really anywhere besides the present moment. Mm-hmm. So that just helped me to kind of understand when you mentioned in the last class I listened to that we're not grounding as we used to.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome. Yeah. And which also brings up a good point too, because we want to have what we call ceremonies, right? Ceremonies is sacred. And we want to get away from the rituals. Rituals and routines need to go, right? So the ritual of saging, because we think we need to clear our space and you know, get out the negative energies. And it, for those of you in my prior classes, I know you've heard this already, but I'm going to say it again for anybody that's new that is joining for the first time. You know, it's a matter of understanding and holding the perception of where we are source. We're source energy, right? And so being source energy, we have to see ourselves as, you know, in our creator state of being, which means that we are source. Source is us. And so when we are looking at things like having a negative presence or a negative energy or entity or anything like that, we have to understand that as a real shadow aspect of ourselves. And it is not a presence per se outside of us, because these are all fractals. So if you were to perceive yourself as being attacked by an entity or by a demon, that is 99.999% of the time going to be a shadow aspect that you are needing to heal or integrate into your reality. Okay. And that's a really important thing to become aware of. You know, years ago, and this is a long years ago, I took a class, well, I took a lot of classes. I was mentoring with a woman in Hawaii named Jen, who was a brilliant psychic medium. And she's the one that explained to me the reason I was having trouble connecting in as a medium was because I was trying to go up. And she's like, there is no trying to go up for you. You're already up. You have to come down, right? So someone who's good would see that in you. So she was very, very good and very insightful. And she was explaining all of this pertaining to the demons and the entities and all of that stuff. And she had said that, you know, in our lifetimes, we might be attacked once by a demon or an entity or something in our sleeping state of being, right? And I know many people who are triggered into sleep paralysis think that that's a, you know, an entity or a demon being that is laying on their chest, they can't breathe. And that's not true. It's sleep paralysis. Sleep paralysis is when your spiritual body leaves your physical body And your physical body wakes up before your spiritual body gets back in. So if you think about the spiritual body being the motor, like the engine for the car, your physical body can't run and you perceive yourself as being held down. But it's not that. It's just that, you know, you can't operate the body without the motor, so to speak. Okay. So, you know, that's really what's happening in that case. And a lot of people think that's a demon possession or an entity possession. That is not anything like that. Okay. If for some reason you were to have this crazy attack, I've had it happen 3 times now, because each time I've had this challenge, it's been a challenge to where I'm about to step up into another version of myself to clear more density. If you ever have a time where you're sleeping, and you can just say this as a reminder to yourself when you're falling asleep at night, if anything ever presents in your dreams that makes you uncomfortable, all you have to do is stand in your power and just say, I am love, I am light. I am love, I am light. I am love, I am light. I am, and it just like bursts. It's gone in an instant, right? I've had 3 of those happen. And each time it was when I was ascending my next level. So there's really nothing to fear. It's all us, believe me, because this, if I could show you in a picture, I would, but it's all us when it comes down to it. It's us, every version of us, everything is us, right down to our galactic presence, you know, our future self, all of that, right? So don't allow yourself to play into that. And if you're saging, sage because, you know, you are, you know, wanting to just, you know, amplify your field or something like that, right? And it's really good to use things like Palo Santo, because Palo Santo is high vibrational and will help your space, okay? Let's see. Jill is saying, so to start meditation, you would bring the light through your crown down to your heart and back out. You have mentioned those who are out there, not for your best interest when doing your work. What would you say they are? And then Bob wants to know if we still tie into the Earth's energy grid. So from the perspective of tying into the Earth's energy grid or connecting to the Earth, we're still putting our feet on the Earth and still connecting to Gaia, right? Because we are from Gaia. The physical body suits that we wear are from Gaia. So you want to still do that. You want to still connect to her in that way. And as you know, earthing is very, very important. Hugging trees, the Sasquatch move from tree to tree. And that's how people can't find them, because they use tree energy as portals to move from tree to tree to tree. That's how they move so fast. Okay. They're not running that fast. They're using trees. So I would say use the earth, right? Walking in the woods, connecting to the earth. If you're going to sit out in the sun now, just sit back and relax back and just receive, be a good receiver. Okay. It's really important to just receive when you're on the earth. Now, Jill, to get back to your question, so the second part of your question, I don't really understand, but the first, so do you want to come on in dialogue? Because the first part of your question about, you know, your meditation, if you need to bring light in, that's fine, but I don't do that anymore. I just bring my consciousness down into my heart center and I let it overflow into the rest of my body, because I need the consciousness to come out of my thinking mind and into my heart space. And then once, and you'll feel it, because when you do that, it runs down your legs. You get a certain feeling in the rest of your body. We want to be in a state of feeling now. We don't want to be in a state of thinking at all. Everything is about feeling from here on in. Okay. So when we are doing the meditation, once I have filled the cup of my heart, then I just bring it back up and I enter going up the ascension column or the tube torus, whatever you want to call it, right? It's right around us on the sides of us, and we go straight up it and we connect into the higher realms. We have to remember that you know, the crown chakra supports expansion and connection, right? That's where expansion and connection is. The third eye is our projector, right? Projecting the path. It takes the light from the sun. Solaris is the main projector, the main screen projector that projects many different versions of our reality onto the earth. And then we choose which one we want to experience or which one we want to play in. Okay. So we have to remember that we're going straight up with the consciousness and then expanding out. Was there another question, Jill?
Yeah. So when you were talking about that, it's all us and that the saging and stuff like that is not necessarily needed to help get rid of any unwanted energies that maybe you picked up when you were at Walmart per se, like I am like 50 million times a week. Mm-hmm. So I know that in other classes or one other class you mentioned that out there in the ethers or whatever, you may be doing your work, you may be working with your team or whatever, and some energy will come along and it's not for your best. And it doesn't have your best interest in mind. So what do you call that? What is that if it's not you?
So right now it's happening. And I mean, we were going to talk about this tonight anyway, so we'll just talk about it now. What happens is now, because these energies are so extremely high, and we are literally, what's a good word? You know, as we're going through this process of bifurcating 3D from 5D, and we're in this separation phase, what's happening is all these collective consciousnesses is really what it is, right? These collective focused consciousness states of being are presenting. And some of those collective states have fear. Some of them are holding anger. Some of them are holding other kinds of distortions, right? So it is most likely that you are encountering a consciousness and not an entity attachment or anything like that. Now, because I was born awake, I do not believe in like the entity attachments and all of that sort of stuff, right? I've just never subscribed to any of that. Not saying it's wrong if somebody does subscribe to it, you know, that's their belief system, but my belief system never held that. My belief system only held God, source, creator, states of being, right? And that's all I know is creator, source. So when I see this energy presenting, for me, they are states of consciousness. And just like belief systems, they have a strong consciousness. And belief systems and these consciousnesses that are now releasing, right? Because they're releasing from our fields, are going to try to attach to whatever field is available to them. Okay. And so it's really important to check your emotions and say, boy, I'm highly emotional today. Is this mine? What happened to create this experience? And bring yourself back into a check-in reality. See? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and that makes sense because I feel like when, like, for instance, you're in a super center, that those kinds of things can be hanging out in the supercenter. Like those kind of consciousnesses or the collective consciousness or 3D, those kinds of things can be there and you can unwittingly just move right through them.
Walk through them, absolutely. Yeah. And then what you do in that minute is you've touched it or connected with it. It's like a field of energy, right? But you don't have to take it in. So Maybe going into that space, because you know it holds a lot lower vibration, you walk in, and before you walk in, you say a decree, right? And set your energy and say, may I be of service to all I come in contact with in the highest way, holding the highest light possible for me. And then this way, you're not going to play in the lower realm. And so even if you do bump into those consciousnesses or those limited beliefs that are floating around, right? That remember, they are programmed into this 3D matrix, okay? It's all programmed into the matrix. It's like, this is the fail-safe mechanism because they don't want you to get out of jail, right? I mean, like, that is
yeah.
You know, we have to be playful thinking about this, and we have to really just experience this and just have fun with it, because when we get too much in our head and we're making too much out of this, then we've taken ourselves out of why we came here to do this, right? We're learning about ourselves in every single moment, okay? And so I think this is really important to understand that there's just, you know, a bazillion different consciousnesses now, because remember, as we're going through a collective shift, there's a lot of stuff coming up within everybody, okay? And it's collectively being peeled off. And because Gaia is shedding from her electromagnetic field, those frequency bandwidth imprints in her field that match the bandwidth frequencies in our field, because, like, let's say someone who has cancer, for instance, okay? Now, they hold the timeline imprint in their field of that cancer event. Now they're tuning into the cancer event of the collective of, like, the 7 billion people that are on the earth in Gaia's field. That's why cancer is so hard to beat. It's not that cancer is hard to beat. It's the emotional state of being. It has nothing to do with cancer. It has to do with the emotions and the mental state. So people that can't beat it are tied into that crazy timeline experience of cancer and then root into the emotions and the fears and the thoughts and everything that they perceive as their own. And it's not. It's a collective consciousness, right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so we have to be careful with all of this, okay? And I know I'm giving you guys a lot of work, but this is a mastery class and you guys can handle it.
Thank you, Maria.
And I am always here, you know that, so you're welcome. All right, good questions. Anybody else, any questions on that before we shift? Let me just check chat. What's the best explanation for people who are still running their old programs now that we have entered the age of Aquarius? Is it a 3D state, or would they be going back to 4D now because it still holds duality? So, you know, states of consciousness, 3D is completely asleep, right? And they don't know they're asleep. They're under the mind control programming. We're seeing this with people that, you know, absolutely want the vaccine, right? Because they don't realize. They're not doing research. They're not looking to see what's in the vaccine. If you try and tell them, they don't want to hear it. They just know there's always been a vaccine for a bazillion years, and that vaccine is going to save me, right? That's all they want to know. Those people, dead asleep. You're not going to wake them up. They're soul time lock is going to have to wake them up. It's going to have to, if it's meant to, may not be meant to, right? 4D is the person that starts to recognize that there may be something else going on and maybe what they thought was not, right? And then 5D is completely awake. Now, we're all facing these challenges in our families. You've heard me say it before. My brother is of the, you know, the vaccine mindset and all of that sort of stuff. Okay. And he's always gotten a flu shot. But you know, my brother also has a heart condition and diabetes, which I don't have. Right. So we are making our reality happen. We don't have to wake anybody up. It's not our responsibility. Our responsibility as divine co-creators is to love them right where they are, not needing them to change or shift to make us happy or comfortable. Okay. That, I mean, Jesus never expected anybody to shift for him. Okay. He was willing to love them right where they were. So that's our job right now. We need to, because guess what? In you holding that perspective, in you holding that light, you are offering something that is so magnitudinal that in that instant of you offering them the pure love of your heart can shift them automatically, because now you've offered a time lock unlock. Okay, I know that's confusing, but this is how it works. All right, because in that moment, you're offering them love in an unconditional way. Okay, so hopefully that makes sense. And if it doesn't, please come on and chat with me, or send a question in chat. All right, so full stops. For those of you, I know some of you are feeling this, Gaia's been having these full stops, and it's been happening since April. Okay, and these full stops, you feel it. You know, I'm so energy sensitive, it doesn't like wonk out my field or anything like that. But when you feel it, you feel it. It's like everything suddenly gets very quiet. And it's a feeling that you have. You're like, oh, that's very interesting. So it's like entering the zero point field, right? Where time has just kind of like stopped. All right. And then you'll notice that for a duration after that, it still feels quiet. All right. Now, I live off of a couple of blocks away, not close, but not far from the Long Island Expressway. Right. And normally it's very busy and you can hear the traffic going back and forth. When Gaia goes into one of these full stops, there's nothing, dead silence right in the middle of the day when it's super busy. Right. Nothing. A dead stop. So start paying attention to these moments. Start listening to your heart center and your body and allowing it to tell you, you know, what is taking place. This is where we start to tune in through feeling. Feeling is going to be our best friend. So we want to make sure we're allowing ourselves to feel into what is taking place as our experience. Linear time is starting to collapse as we are deconstructing it on the earth. And what's happening is that so much photonic light is coming in now that the photonic light, as you know, likes order. It doesn't like chaos, right? So photonic light is creating this order now on the earth plane. And because linear time is chaotic because it's not part of who we are, it's requiring this order out of the chaos. So when you're feeling this, just make the time to just be mindful, be present, feel into it. Set your intention to integrate into that field of photonic light, to receive that field of photonic light, okay? And allow yourself to participate in that experience is very important now, okay? So, because there's a lot of transformation happening, we have to retrain our body, right? We have been experiencing ourselves from a 3D linear perspective our whole entire lives. Now we have to retrain ourselves. In this class, we're retraining our minds. We're retraining how we're thinking, right? We're retraining how we are connecting everything. We're retraining ourselves, which means that we have to change our habits. Habits have to go. No routine. So if you're a morning person and you like a routine in the morning, get rid of your routine. Do something different, something. So if you wake up and you go get your coffee and you sit in a particular place, don't do that. Wake up and get a glass of water and do something else and then go have your coffee and sit in that chair or whatever. Okay. Have to mix it up now. We have to shift out of this a routine and the habits and all of that. We have to break all of that up, okay? Because the ego is eventually going to release from our field. It'll still be there in like a micro way. But as the negative leaves and the fear leaves, we no longer need an ego, okay? So the ego's job is going to change. it's going to shift, and it will be acting more as the protector that it was also designed, because it has two roles, right? From the most minute role is it protects us from a dangerous experience. Okay. So the other part of that is that the ego was meant to keep us stuck. It's that little voice that we hear constantly talking to us, shaming us, telling us we did something stupid or whatever, right? So as that negative aspect goes, that the part that's going to be left is the one that's going to be the protective for us, which is very important. Okay. So when we're experiencing ourselves in a situation that maybe has, you know, rocked us a little bit and, you know, created frustration, anger, whatever, right? It's very, very important to sit in your discernment of what took place, but don't stay there. We want to do that so we can see what happened and then create a solution to it. Okay. So if something presents for you that is feeling very uncomfortable, see it, but then say, well, what are my timeline choices here? Right? Because we have to look at the situation and then we have to say, if I do this, I see that as the potential outcome. That's one timeline. If I choose to do this, then that's going to be the potential outcome. And if I do this, then that's going to be the outcome. Out of these three timelines, which one is going to serve my highest good? Does that make sense to everybody? This is how we're navigating timelines, right? And this is how we're preventing ourselves from steering off of the path that we're on with our soul path, all right? Very, very important. So if you fall into fear, I want you to see it and shift into some state of being in order to change it, okay? And normally, a good thing to do would be to go do something that lights up your field, right? So if you get into something that makes you fearful or makes you angry, because it's all the same, right? Fear and anger, resentment, all of that is still fear. Go outside in the sun. The sun always lights me up. It always makes me happy. Go stick your face in the sun and start talking to Solaris, right? He loves hearing our problems. He hears all of mine. So go put your face in the sun and take in some sun, and I guarantee you it'll shift your mood immediately. Turn on some music and start to dance. When you move your lower chakras, you know, it shakes loose all of that stuff and it works it right up into the higher chakras. Okay. Do anything. I sometimes become creative. I do some artwork. You know, it's very important for us to know what it is that we can do that is going to take us out of that lower state of being, that we want to be in those higher states and those higher timelines. Okay. Natalie's asking, how do we not fall into the trap of analysis paralysis when faced with decisions between choosing timelines? Well, we've done this work a number of times, and that the work that we need to do in order to do that is tune into our heart center, right? So when we close our eyes and we bring our consciousness down into our heart center, and then we ask ourselves, which is our highest aligned choice, and we're doing it from our heart center, then we're in our highest alignment because we're connected to our inner being. Does that make sense to everybody? Natalie, if you want to come on and dialogue that, you can. But that's how we do it. We're connecting in, right? So we always have to remember these are our tools, right? These are our tools. We have to use them. We can't not use them.
Hi. Yeah. So the analysis paralysis, it's just basically, like you said, it's that discernment when you're like, okay, I have option A, B, or C. Nothing's good or bad. It's just those different mm-hmm. options, and you're making the choice. But it's, we know that the heart speaks in whispers, right? And the ego is very loud. So it's kind of like to know when it's the heart answer and not the ego saying that, like the programming. It's just a kind of.
I have the perfect solution for that. close your eyes. You guys got to use the work, right? Close your eyes, because closing our eyes does what? It takes you out of your ego. The minute you close your eyes, you are no longer in your ego. So if you are wanting to discern which timeline is good for you, close your eyes, drop into your heart, and then run those scenarios. Mm-hmm. You see?
Yeah. Okay, perfect.
Yeah, that's it. It's very simple. We close our eyes and then we go into the heart center, and from the heart center, you can tell. So let's do that now. Let's all do that. Close your eyes. We're all going to close our eyes, right? So I want you to just follow me. I'm going to give you some direction. So closing your eyes, allowing yourself to drop into your heart center. And as you drop into your heart center, I just want you to start breathing gently in and out, focusing your breath on your heart center. And as you're focusing your breath on your heart center, I want you to do a double check and make sure you're not in the center of your head with your thoughts. And if you are, gently walk your thoughts right down through your face, right down through your throat, down into your shoulders, and drop right down into your heart center. And now keep breathing in and out of your heart center. And as you're breathing in and out of your heart center, you can invite your higher self in, asking it to be one, be present with you while you are in your heart center. And now I'm going to say two statements, and I want you to feel with your heart center, feel with your body, whether it is true for you or it is not true for you. Something that is true for you will bring into your heart center, pull into your heart center, feel like it is yours, and what is not true for you will feel like it is repelling. This is an exercise that you can do, because this exercise is tuning you into your natural state of being so that you can start feeling more than thinking. So the first statement in the exercise is, I am a divine co-creator with my universe. Feel, does that feel like it pulls in or pushes out? I am a divine co-creator with my universe. Feel into that. You might feel it come into your heart and then go up into your throat as it wants to go into the higher realms, because you are divine co-creator with your universe. You all should have felt that pull into your body, feeling very comfortable, lighting you up. And now the next statement that I'm going to make, again, assess if it pulls in or it pushes away. My ego runs my show because I can't. My ego runs my show because I can't. Pulls in or pushes out? My ego runs my show because I can't. Every one of you should be feeling resistance when I say that. It should be like nails on a chalkboard. It should feel very uncomfortable. My ego runs the show because I can't. It might feel heavy. Now let me say the other statement again. I am a divine co-creator with my universe. I am a divine co-creator with my universe. And now that should have felt like it pulled in or pulled up, coming in. And now take a nice breath in through your heart center, and everybody come on back. Okay, so when you're having difficulty with making a decision, this is the work you're going to use. You're going to close your eyes. Why? Because when our eyes are open, our ego is in charge. That's just the way it is. We were all constructed that way, right? So when our eyes are open, the ego is in charge. We need to step out of the way and get rid of the ego. And the best way to do that, close the eyes and come right down into the heart center. Okay? Just remember, if you are struggling with something or a decision, close your eyes. Your eyes will shut everything down, and then you go right into your heart center. It works every time, all right? What we want to use this to train ourselves to feel. It's important for us to get into feeling states in this, okay? Did that help you, Natalie? Yeah.
Yeah, I just wrote in the chat that it was very subtle, but I felt it like the first statement, I could feel it like kind of come in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then with the second statement, just felt like the heart put up a wall right there, as in like rejected, like just yes. Not there. And then the second statement, first statement again, then is very subtle, but it was just kind of like in block.
Yeah. That's why we do this exercise, because energy is subtle. And we're so used to being trained in one way, we have to untrain, right? Didn't I just say that a few minutes ago? We're untraining ourselves out of the old ways into new ways. So we have to shift this, right?
Thank you. I needed that reminder.
Yep. Good. Yeah. Got to do the work. You have to do this is like practicing the piano. You have to do the work. It doesn't come easy, right? We have to do this. Even myself, I have to do this. All right. Robin says, when you are in a stretch, you have to feel it and stretch anyway. Exactly. We have to continue to stretch up, reach up. And, you know, this work is like exercise. We have to do it consistently. Okay. Linda says, sometimes when I wake up, I have a feeling of anxiety. I usually take a few extra minutes to breathe through it in my heart. I say an affirmation saying this is not my anxiety anymore, and it usually comes clear. Is this the right approach, or is there something else that you can recommend? So yeah, in the morning, my favorite, so you guys know my favorite nighttime routine, right? I'm going to say both. We have new people on here. I want to get this work as clear as possible for all of you guys that are needing this. So at night, when we lay down to sleep, especially because we're at night right now, I want you guys to lay down. And as you're readying yourself to fall asleep, I want you to tune into your heart center. Ask that the momentum of your thoughts slow so that you can prepare for dream state. And then I want you to ask to be on the highest timeline available to you. Okay. And that will put you in the best sleep possible. Now, I know we've said this before, but it takes repeating because, every once in a while I will forget to do it. But we have to be reminding ourselves that we have these little ceremonies in place for a reason, because we need to use them in order to make our experience the best experience possible. Okay. Now, anxiety coming out of sleep is probably because of some work that you are doing on the other side, and the energy between your spiritual body coming back into your physical body. What I'm feeling for you, Linda, is that there might have been a lifetime where you didn't wake up from sleep. And so you are intuitive and recognize that your spiritual body is outside of your physical body. And it happens a lot. I see this a lot, especially with sleep apnea, where someone will have been killed in their sleep and they develop sleep apnea in this lifetime. And we have to remember that all fractals from all parallel realities that we are needing to heal and integrate in this time now are present with us. So when you're going to sleep at night, another thing that you can say to yourself before you do this, so you do the, I ask the momentum of my thoughts slow so I can enter dream state. I ask that I be on the highest timeline available to me. I know I am safe. Okay. Adding, I know I am safe, or I know I am safe to leave my body, right? Whatever is going to make it most comfortable for you. okay? Something to that effect. And then in the morning, upon waking up, so it's really important that when we're waking up, we stay in bed until we come back fully, because sometimes we'll have been doing such amazing work in our sleep state that we're actually not ready to wake up right away or not ready to come back right away. Okay, this happens to me all the time. There was a period of time where I was doing such deep, deep work clearing the records in the Living Library of Gaia, because this is one of my jobs, that I would come back and my field would be all wonky because I wasn't fully present in my body. So I like to say, stay in bed after your eyes open and you wake up. Just stay in bed as if you are in your room for the first time, right? And you're really coming back and just really getting your feelers in place for where you are. And then as you're waking up, let yourself feel whatever it is that you're feeling, because sometimes we're coming back from heavy duty work or we're coming back from a lifetime that we had a lot of healing to do or clearing to do, and it wasn't a pleasant time. So we're carrying that energy back to us, right? And let yourself come back. And if you are coming back and then you're finding that you can't shake whatever you woke up from, then I would say I would start to find appreciation before I get out of bed. Find appreciation for, boy, my bed was so comfortable. My sleep was comfortable. My room is cozy. Just finding appreciation to shift out of that, right? Because sometimes we wake up and we're waking up from another experience in another timeline reality that we worked in our sleep state, okay? And we may wake up in a cranky mood, not realizing why we woke up in a cranky mood or fearful or whatever it is. So we want to do that, right? And the first 10 to 20 minutes are super important when we wake up, because it kind of sets the tone for the day. So, you know, in the summertime when the weather was nice, I would always do something, go get a glass of water or tea or coffee, whatever I was having, and then go sit outside in the sun and just connect with Solaris. Now it's winter, so can't really do too much of that, especially if it's not a nice day out. But you know, do something that's going to make you feel good in the first 10 to 20 minutes. So maybe even, you know, putting some music on that you really enjoy. You know, allow yourself to maybe journal. Sometimes when we're writing, it takes the thoughts out of here, goes down the hand, right? It's better than typing something on a keyboard, because we're clearing it from our field when we're writing it. So maybe, you know, some journaling, sound healing. Sometimes, you know, when I get up in the morning or if I've taken a shower and I'm putting my makeup on, I listen to some sound meditation, some solfeggio frequencies or something like that. So anything that's going to amplify your field and get you back in alignment is what I would say doing. Okay. So whatever it is, journaling, doesn't matter, you know, drawing, anything like that. Okay. But the first 10 to 20 minutes are very, very important. And it's really super important to remember that you may not be coming back with your stuff. You may be coming back with something in a timeline that you were trying to resolve. We do that all the time. Okay. Does that help you? Hopefully that helps. Yeah. Good. Okay. All right, and Jill's saying she used a technique of feeling into the heart center to answer an email about a choice she was given. Yeah, it's a great technique. It really is. It works. We just have to remember to use it. you know, and this is why we want to do it, because it is subtle at first, right? And we're training ourselves to tune into our own energy and our higher self, you know? Robin says, I have been doing this. And when I put my feet down, I actually say, I am in this now moment. That's also a great one too, because we're putting our feet on the ground, getting our presence anchored in and, you know, acknowledging I'm here, here I am. Right. So that's important. So let's talk about fear and falling into fear, right? And needing to shift it. The first thing we need to do is we need to acknowledge that we're in fear. We need to acknowledge that we've shifted out of our good state of being, our, you know, higher state of being. And then we have to allow ourselves to have this recognition or this awareness without going down the rabbit hole of trying to dissect why we're feeling the way that we're feeling, right? So we want to clear it by acknowledging it. So we're going to acknowledge it, right? We're wanting to correct it, right? So, okay, so I'm feeling off. I'm not having a good day. Something obviously happened that's taken me out of my higher state of being. And maybe I can't put my finger on it. So I'm going to do something that is going to bring me into the higher timeline. So go into creator mode and do something that's going to help you create. All right. That's really so important. I can't stress that enough because creation is the 5D timeline. Now, you know, people have said to me when I said, well, go, you know, paint, draw, journal, write, whatever. And they're like, well, I don't really do any of that. I don't sing. Singing is creative too, right? Singing, speaking, toning, chanting, light language, all of that. Very high level creator states of being. So whatever is working for you, for your own personal creation, that's what you should do. All right. That's really super important to have that awareness. It doesn't really matter what it is. It's whatever you're feeling connected to doing. Okay. And Robin is asking, shouldn't you acknowledge the feeling? Yes, you're going to acknowledge it, but you're not going to dissect it. And we don't need to go into it because if you're going into it, then chances are you're going to find something to stick with and go right down the rabbit hole. Yeah. Yeah. And Donna says, all right, Donna. Yes. Merry Christmas. And we love you. And we will see you maybe next week. All right. Have a good night. See you soon. So, so we want to just do something that will get us back into the creator states of being, right? That's going to be super, super important for us to stay in those creator states. Now, I want to talk about this because this is very 3D and I'm seeing this come up a lot. And there's a lot of issues surrounding addictions, right? And those addictions are tied into patterns, rituals, habits, frustrations, belief systems. Again, it's all relating to how we're connecting into the heart. The heart center is our go-to source, no matter what we're doing. It's always going to be in the heart center, okay? So the most important thing is, if you understand that you are source energy and source energy is you, then in any given moment, I don't care where you are or what's taking place, right? If you could be in the middle of the store and then have all this barrage of energy coming to you that's not energy that you desire or you want to feed into, you could very easily say, I am my divine presence. I am source. And remind yourself, because when we do that, it amplifies our field, right? Close your eyes for a second. Go, I am my divine presence. Ooh, that felt good. Close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes, right? And I want you to say or think, I am my divine presence. I am my divine presence. And just let yourself feel into that. I am source. I am creator consciousness. I am my divine presence. Right? Just feel into that. That's so important. And come on back. So important. You could feel the upsurge of energy as we do that, right? So important to do that. Because it's positive. It's a positive state of being and your higher self recognizes it, knows it, okay? Even if your ego mind doesn't. That's why I say close the eyes. Close your eyes because it takes you right out of ego. You bypass ego, go right into heart space and you're right in a higher self, okay? That's super, super important. And if you dip into the negative thoughts and behaviors, just self-talk yourself out of it with it, right? Well, like, I mean, listen, it could be something as silly as you spill some water on the ground, on the floor, and then you're like, oh my God, what a dummy I was. Did I really do that? I can't. And you catch yourself in that moment and be like, no, that's not who I am. I don't do this anymore, right? Because even simple stuff like that, right? We don't want to do that, all right? Very, very important to make sure we're shifting that. We have to remind ourselves that we're in control at all times, right? So when we're feeling our lack states, where we're wanting something other than what is happening to happen, we have to remind ourselves we're in control of everything. And if something has gone awry, it's probably because we have an underlying thought that is hanging out that is not allowing whatever it is that we're desiring to take place or happen. So the moment we start to take control back and we think of, you know, the fact that we are in control and we're in our creative states of being, then we can see that everything is, that's showing up for us is an opportunity for us to shift. Let's say you have something that you do not like, did not want happening in your life right now. And, you know, let's say it's partly family stuff or whatever, right? You have to look at all of that that's playing out and say, what is this mirroring back to me? Okay. There was one experience today where the mirrored experience was the experience of perfection and doing too much and not letting other people handle their share of the work. Okay. And so when somebody steps up to you and you're seeing them, you know, totally ditching their responsibilities, and then you're the one that's left towing the rope, it's showing you that maybe you have to put less of a burden on yourself to be perfect so that you're not getting yourself stuck. Right. And then pass it back on to them and go like, you're part of the equation here. You're supposed to be doing your part of the work. We don't carry anybody anymore, right? We come from a place of love, compassion, understanding. This person checked out because they just can't handle whatever's going on with them, but it is what it is, right? And if we can't fulfill something for somebody, let's say somebody had an expectation from us that we were supposed to fulfill, we must see that they will understand. Otherwise, our experience with that person will be that they are not going to be able to get it. And the experience is going to be an awful experience for them and an awful experience for us, right? Because their expectation of us is not reasonable. Now we can foster that and play into that, and then we have a problem on our hands because we've created that problem, right? So we have to see it all as we're creating it. We have to also uncreate it too, all right? And then just as we're having these moments, we have to celebrate the successes that we're having. So give yourself a reward for seeing what is playing out, for having that greater awareness, right? Whatever that is going to be for you, it doesn't matter what it is. Give yourself a little pat on the back and feel good. If something has happened and you're feeling great that you counted it, send me an email. I love getting mail. Are you kidding me? I answer all my mail. You guys know that. Sometimes it's a little hard for me to answer right away, but I eventually get to it. I love reading successes. And just as I love reading successes, I'm here to help you with whatever you're struggling with as well. But certainly feel that feel good moment and send me your success. I would love to have you share it with me. Okay. Because that is just as important as everything else. All right. So I made some notes here on how to shift. So guided meditations are perfect when we're struggling. We don't want to do an unguided meditation and just listen to music, because that mind thing is going to go and go and go and go, and we don't want to do that. Okay. So guided meditations, anything that has an activation in it. I'm thinking now that I have to make a note, because I want to send you guys a meditation that I have that I think would be perfect for this. Oops. So I'm going to send you the meditation. Hold on one second. Along with the replay of this call, because I think it would support this. So it'll be an activations meditation for you that I am going to send. Do random acts of kindness, right? I like doing that for people because doing random acts of kindness raises our vibration. It also brings us into 5D alignment because that's where we're headed with the new age of Aquarius, okay? And that's going to be something that's very, very important, which is why my higher realm, when I say that, I mean my higher selves and all, wants me to do that box of infinite possibilities, right? And have you guys send me your addresses so that I could send you little love notes out. Because they're like, this is a really important thing that you do right now. And I'm like, okay. And so it's going to start in January. I'm super excited for it. I already started working on some stuff that you guys are going to be receiving. So this is exciting for me to be able to do this, and I'm looking forward to it. So random acts of kindness, right? Sharing, caring, you know, having a compassionate heart to each other, reciprocity, very, very important. You hear me talk about that all the time. You know, we have to be able to receive and to give. Go outside and do grid work if you can. If you can get on the earth and go do grid work, bring your crystals out, plant them in the grass or your garden or in the park or at the beach or wherever. You know, grid work is very, very important. As I mentioned before, I'm ahead of myself. I mentioned all this before, but I'm going to mention it again. Toning, light language, clearing your space, not saging and stuff like that, but literally clearing your space, right? And just makes you feel so much better. I cleaned up my art supplies yesterday. I felt like $1 million, right? See yourself as a creator. Start to see yourself as a creator and say, what can I create, right? Some of you are doing your mentoring with me for your businesses, which is why I put these packages together for you guys to give you some assistance and support since you're taking these classes. And I'm seeing amazing things happening from those creator states that you're coming into. I mean, shift is like amazing, okay? And so the fun in that is watching you take off and blossom. Okay. Very, very important to stay in your creator states of being. So if you're not fully embraced, immersed in your own personal business and you want to be, that's a place that you could focus now. We have these amazing opportunities through these go windows that are activating. I posted about it today, where you'll get a creative spark, right? This little flecking of information coming through that sparks you. You set, it says, wow, I could, whatever, you know, the other day, yesterday, I was putting together some work because I'm making some special art journals. So I went, I got some hole punchers. I don't know if you could see the thread, but I got some hole punchers and everything. These are going to be watercolor journals when they're done. And I'm doing it the right way so that the pages open to the spread and everything. Now, of course, I was doing that for me because I just wanted to do some creative project. And like, I'm going to show it to you guys when it's all done. But now it's like opened up to the next level. And of course, as my universe works, a new YouTube just happened to be in my stream and it's got this next step or next level. And I'm like, I could do that. So now this is how it works. We have to pay attention, right? And the funny thing is that I took this class on watercolor, not even knowing that there was any kind of journal making involved in it with this woman in Italy, to just get into creative state of being because I want to do more work with my art, with guides, painting guides and different things like that. And here she's got us making these fairy journals, right? And so as I'm making the journals, I finished them. And then my friend who shares the house with me came in to talk to me and she was sitting on my bed last night and I had my back to my desk, right? So I was facing my bed, back to my desk. My phone is off, it's on my desk. And we're saying something and all of a sudden, the cat that's always with me sits and she looks up behind me, right? And then looks at me and then looks up behind me and then goes like this, and then looks back at me. And I'm like, I wonder what that was about, right? So, and they're very, you know, they're very tuned in. So I turn around and I look at my desk and I said, I wonder what's back here and behind me. And I turn around and I look at my desk. Now my phone was closed. My phone was opened when I turned around to that fairy class that I'm taking. Didn't even put my passcode in or anything. And it was on the page that listed all the supplies that were needed to create the fairy journal. Yeah, that's how it happens. So when you're in alignment, your universe shows you you're in alignment, right? Now, so this is how it works. So we have to be fun and playful and have fun and just keep playing in it, right? So these are the states of consciousness we're in. We have these windows available to us where when we blip into this window, we're actually blipping into 5D in such a state that we anchor in for that second, like I did when I was in Target, right? And then of course we come back out again until we hold it. It's like playing double Dutch jump rope, right? You're kind of waiting to get in, and then you get in, and you can only jump for so long before you run out of steam and then you pop out of the rope, right? And then so it's the same thing here. So we have to take those go windows when we get them. If you get these concepts and ideas and stuff like that, write them down, record them, use your phone, record it into your phone. And then, you know, it'll come back around, and then let it marinate. Know that you caught something, you got something, like you got some fairy dust sprinkled on you. And here you've got this, you know, amazing, amazing information coming through. All right. Yeah, and really, it's important to understand that everything that we're doing from an energetic level is going out into the universe across all dimensions, right? So when you are judging somebody in this lifetime, it very well could be that judgment, that cast that went through all of the dimensions that created a bad experience for them in another lifetime. Okay, that's how it works. So we have to remember that when we're interacting all time, space, dimensions, and realities. It's across all boards, okay? And then what we're putting out to the universe as energy is going to manifest in form, right? So whatever we don't want to come back in a bad way, don't put it out in a bad way. We don't want it to come back to us in a bad way, because energy manifests in the return in form. Okay, very important to remember that. So create from your highest state of being as if it was already done. See it already done. When I work, I see it as already done. I don't question anything. For you guys that are creators, right? When we're creating and we're about to put something out, there was a time in my life where I would put a video out, or I would put a post out, and I would be like, oh God, I hope everybody likes it. I hope nobody thinks anything bad of it. I hope this or what, right? And then there was a turning point where I shifted, and I don't even think about that anymore, because I am creating from the highest timelines and putting everything out, right? That lower way of thinking would have stopped me from posting something maybe somebody would have needed. One person could have needed it and the rest could have bypassed it, right? So we have to make sure that we're not preventing our higher states of creativity by judging ourselves. All right, that's very, very important. And remembering that from a higher level, because it is a 5D state of being, creativity actually soothes our nervous system. Okay, so it doesn't matter what kind of creativity. You could play music, you could, you know, dance, you whatever. You don't have to paint or draw or anything like that, but it is something that soothes the nervous system. All right, so we have to remember that. And always be in a state of awareness that you're seeing what is presenting and what you are creating, because when we're not, we're allowing ourselves to participate in scattered states of being or scattered realities, all right? And it's very, very important for us to you know, stay as present as possible in our current state of being, all right? I hope that makes sense to everybody. So I think that we're going to leave this here for now. because I think we're already, yeah, we're already at 9 o'clock or a little after. So what I'd like to do is I'm going to take the chat and answer the chat, and then I'm going to open this up for any questions. So Robin says she's been discussing, I've been focusing lately on the word hope, which I believe entertains doubt. Yes, I have been working on this with my clients, catching how I am trying to control their journey. Yeah, we want to use the word faith because faith has a much higher vibration than hope does, right? So, you know, hope still is doubt. I have doubt, so I'm going to hope it happens, but I'm uncertain, I'm unsure. Faith says I anchor into whatever I know has the potential to happen and be the outcome. So definitely our words need to, you know, be a conscious part of our awareness too, so that we're catching what we're speaking in as our reality. I switched that. Appreciation is much deeper than gratitude. Work with those words, right? So all of you work with faith and hope and appreciation and gratitude, right? I say you hold gratitude on the way to having appreciation because appreciation is so deep. Okay. So yeah, it's good awareness to be, you know, conscious of what we're creating with our words. Okay. Very, very important. So Jen said, Glenn Harold 528 Hertz resonates with love and heart center and is amazing. Okay. So that's something that maybe I could find it and I could share it in the email when I send it out for the replay, so that I can send it all to you and you can all play with it over the course of the next couple of days as with the affirmations meditation as well. So does anybody have any questions or anything that needs to be clarified or anything you need to chat up about?
Diana? Maria.
Hi, what's up?
Well, I know I emailed you today, but I wanted to kind of share a little bit. I had probably one of the worst days today. I've been doing really, I've been coasting along for months now. You know, we've been working together for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden today, it was just so, everything just hit me, a ton of bricks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can see, but I was crying so much today.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of it has to do with my dad because it's the first Christmas without him.
Right.
I did, however, I'm actually very proud of myself because I woke up this morning, I felt the anger, I felt the emotion. I felt the fear. I went outside. I sat in the sun. I actually still use your 10-minute ascension guided meditation.
Okay.
Every single morning in the sun. And then Jen just mentioned the 528 hertz. Mm-hmm. I use that 10-minute tone and I do yoga in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So I grounded myself. But all throughout the day, but I just want to share this one thing that I want to bring up because I don't know if I'm the only one that thinks this.
Mm-hmm.
But when this happened to me today, I felt like, how am I going to help other people and get a business going if I feel like this? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I felt like I wasn't a light worker anymore just because I had a bad day.
Yeah. So back in 2005, I had started my program for Institute of Integrative Nutrition. Okay. And one of my friends at the time was an amazing social worker who was doing holistic wellness and nutrition. And she was a huge fan of Debbie Ford's, and Debbie Ford was doing this, huge event at the Open Center in the city. And she invited me to go with her, and I had no idea what I was going to experience because I had read Debbie's books, but I hadn't really done any of her work, really done the work, you know, mm-hmm. So I just kind of glazed over everything. And I got there, and she had us all doing very deep work, and we had to share with people next to us. And we had to pick someone that we didn't know, that we were, you know, sitting next to, that wasn't a friend. And she was asking us to share our deepest, darkest secret in that moment. And, you know, I had gotten certified for training in Reiki and Asui and Karuna Reiki. And I was working, I was already in my sixth month of my program at IIN, and seeing clients and doing work with clients. But because I hadn't gotten my weight under control and some other stuff in my life, that my, you know, my marriage was falling apart and all this other stuff, I felt like the biggest failure, okay? And I sat there and I cried. Like, I bawled my eyes out to this woman I did not even know. And at the end, I couldn't even recover. That's how badly I was crying, that they had to give a few extra minutes because I was having such a difficult time, right? And what I learned from that experience, because I got it all out, I let myself have the cry, I let myself have the awareness that that was coming up. And then in acknowledging that and owning it, I was also able to understand that it was not my truth, that what was really coming up was the fear that I was feeling surrounding stepping into those shoes. So it didn't have anything to do with me perceiving myself as a failure as much as it had to do with me feeling this tremendous amount of fear that I would have to measure up to my friend Jen and to other people that I held this very high perception and held in very high esteem, right? And I will tell you that in the years that I've been doing this, that I've had a lot of people working with me to further their business and advance themselves in their healing work. And this does come up occasionally, where all of a sudden somebody will have that, you know, feeling that they're not going to measure up, because in the back of their mind, without recognizing it, they're measuring themselves against me and measuring themselves against mm-hmm. others. So, you know, I want you to look at that and, you know, see how that fits for you, because I think this is more about what's happening on a collective level around the earth right now, is that fear in general mm-hmm. is coming up, okay? And as a collective emotion comes up, you have to remember, fear is the main construct, right? There's love and there's fear, but fear mm-hmm. warehouses a whole bunch of other things, right? And so as that's presenting itself to you, this is where you can just allow yourself to have the cry without any judgments, mm-hmm. okay? And let yourself know that from a deep place within, from a higher place, a high aligned place, you are clearing some very deep timelines from your field where you are holding trauma in other parallel realities where you were not successful in your business mm-hmm. because you are opening up to your spiritual gifts, okay? So in this time, you know, in a situation like this, it's really important for you to just step back, not be perfect, not think about, you know, how am I going to do this for other people? Because you will. All right. And right now you're clearing a timeline. I mean, I went through 4 years of carrying and trying to clear a Bartholin cyst. And in my fourth year of clearing that cyst, which was 2013, I probably was my biggest disaster ever. I was, because that cyst, no matter what I did, no matter who I worked with, was not going away, right? It really required me going into complete surrender. So I had to go through all of those steps and go through all of those processes, because had I not done that, I wouldn't have hit surrender. Okay. I just wouldn't have done that. So let yourself have this, cry out what needs to come out, and know that with each tear, you're healing and clearing these frequencies in your field that have been imprints that you've held on to for the longest time, right? And some of them, yes, are surrounding the loss of your dad and everything, but there's so much more that this all ties into. Does that make sense?
It does make 100% sense. Thank you so much.
And you will do it. You will do it.
I know I will. I had some day today.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at, now that you just brought all that up, I didn't even think of that aspect of it, because
of course not.
I have done so many different things in the last few years, and I have completely failed at it.
but
it just wasn't my thing.
There is no such thing as a failure, right? So this is where, again, we have to change our words, because just because you didn't bring it to fruition, right?
Okay, that's better. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a failure. It just was not a fit. And maybe, right, because this is how it works, maybe there were bits and pieces of those things that you needed to flip on the light codes in your field to bring you to this moment now, right? But I see this with people that will go and take Reiki and be all zested up, and I'm going to be a Reiki master. I'm going to be a Reiki master. And then they take Reiki 1 and 2, and by Reiki 2, it all falls apart. And they're like, what do I do now? And I'm like, well, good for you, because it activated light codes in your field. It was an activator, an initiator to get you into the next one, right?
Yeah.
Maybe. And that happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so pat yourself on the back. Good job. Good job. We're all giving you applause. We're all cheering you on, right? Because that's what needs to happen now. Because you have come to that place. You always, always have the greatest shift after you come to your knees. And that is where you are. So watch out, because you are about to soar.
Thank you so much.
Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
All right. So Annie, I'm going to take you, and then Robin, I'm going to take you right after Annie.
I want to say very quickly that I feel like it's important for us to remember that these trials and tribulations that we go through are going to become part of our story and how we help others. Mm-hmm. So if we didn't go to the depths of the nonsense, we might not be able to shine as bright and then help lead the way. So much love and light to you, Diana, and everyone. I mean, I get it. We're not perfect, and we're not here to be. And
thank you.
We're rising up so that we can say, hey, we've been through it.
Yep.
That's awesome.
That's exactly right. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. We're not going to be perfect. There's a lot more work to do. And this is, you know, ascension has not hit its plateau. We have a lot of work to do. The next 4 years of cleanup, I have news for you. So, you know, expect a lot of work. You're needed out there. So you're getting fine-tuned now, right? Trials and tribulations fine-tune us. Yep. Yeah. And Miriam says, that's right. If we try different things, we get told it's failure. Yeah, there's no such thing as failure. We are, you know, doing it. We're doing it. We're doing it all. And we have to just love and embrace and nurture ourselves through. Bottom line. Perfectly said, Annie. Thank you. Robin.
Hey. I had a big thing happen for me. I've been writing a book, and I sort of finished it, and I was very excited about it. But then it became like this like anticlimactic thing. Like it's mm-hmm. like I achieved it, and then it became this anticlimactic thing, and I found myself like almost like keeping it to myself. Like I really wanted to go out there and like share it, but almost like never thought that, I don't know, I felt like it wasn't going to be like everything that I did up to that moment, mm-hmm. like all the work that I've done, like even just saying I finished it didn't really feel like it was going to hold the value. Like the value mm-hmm. I knew that I held for it, like felt like it was enough. So then I did share it with a couple of people, and then they were, you know, excited for me and all of that. And that was very nice. And then I felt like I was asking for it. Like I was asking for that. And then I sort of had this like real conversation with myself. Like, why is that so, like, why am I having such a hard time? Why am I pushing that away? Mm-hmm. The acceptance of like receiving that. And yeah. then that's when I got it. It's about the receiving of that.
Yeah.
And then, so when I got that, then I was like, oh, like that's the issue, because I've been finding that, you know, I get information all the time, but I feel like I am in the space of achieving another level, and my eye twitches, and I get, you know, all the symptoms and the signs of it all. And not that I'm impatient for it, but I almost feel like I'm just doing what I do every day and not waiting for it, but it's sort of like I can feel it, that mm-hmm. the precipice of it is like happening, and then it creates this sort of unsettled feeling, and I don't know what to do to sort of assuage that.
Well, these are the go timelines, right? So we tune into these big amplified states of being and get zested up, so to speak, by the energy that's coming through. We get these creator moments, and then we're in the flow with it, and then all of a sudden there goes a lull, right? And then we kind of feel like something has disappeared, something deflated, something is missing, right? But it's not, it's a timeline. So if you think about what I said earlier, let's say this is 5D, and then we have 4D and we have 3D, right? And we're constantly vacillating in and out, going back and forth constantly, right? And so when we get really good at being up in the higher levels, we're sticking that 5D, but then we can't hold it. Something happens and we slip off and we go back down again. And then something happens and we go back up and we hit it. And then we kind of slip back off again, right? That's going to happen until you fill your body with so much light that you're actually anchoring that 5D creator consciousness, that creator state, okay? But in the meantime, what's happening is you're giving yourself all this experience and knowledge in how to write a book, and then how to be in that creative state and catch that information that's needed. And that's also great information that you could share with people, okay? So there's 1,000 people out there that I know of that I could tell you that could benefit from how to write a book. So maybe there's a class, hint, hint, that you might want to teach when it comes to how to write a book. And I could see you doing that. So, you know, design a course, a program about, you know, book writing and what do you need and how does that work? And then, you know, put that course out there and let your people come to you, because right now that's what you're really good with. And you're in the process of getting your book to wherever it's going to be, but you've gained a tremendous amount of experience just doing that. So in the meantime, use it to step it into another part of it, to bring through another aspect of it. Yes?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, mm-hmm. because the way I wrote the book was in a linear fashion. Mm-hmm. Although I wound up taking a class from somebody who was very linear, mm-hmm. but what I did and how I did it wasn't. So right. that's very interesting. Thank you.
So I would just say, you know, this is a new way of book writing. And believe me, I see these classes out there all the time. I see them, they've been circulating with Hay House for years and years and yeah. years, and you know, other venues and stuff like that. You know, there might even be a book there for you on how to write a book. I'm writing a book because I wrote a book, and now I'm going to write a book on how to write a book. You see, this is our soul experience kind of laughing at us, going like, okay, when are you going to get it? Yeah, you're going to get it. Are you going to get it? Oh, yeah, you got it. Go, go, go. Right? It's how it works. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how it works.
Okay.
So, yeah, good job. Good job. Yeah, and congratulations. Really good. All right. Anybody else before we close this out for tonight? No? All right. So let's unmute and say goodnight.
Good night, everyone.
Know that I love you all. Thank you so much for participating. And Jen, can you do me a favor and send me that meditation that you were telling me about?
Yeah, I'll send you the picture on your email.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate that. We are meeting next Wednesday. I know we're in holiday time, but I'm going to be here. So if you want to be here, I'll be here for you. And as soon as my file is ready tomorrow, I will be sending that out with some extras in there for you guys to work with and play with. And yeah, love it. Great class. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Really appreciate it. All right.
Thank you, Maria.
Have a wonderful night.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Merry Christmas. Yes, happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thank you. Love you guys.
Bye-bye.
Love you, Maria.
Bye. Bye.